here online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, we'll have the latest on NAFID's recommendation of further restrictions on gatherings in people's homes. Fishing representative bodies are set to go back to court after Sinn Féin attempt to overturn a statutory instrument introducing penalty points was defeated in the Dáil last night. A €6 million social housing project in Castlefin has been given the go-ahead to move to the next stage. And a Donegal senator is calling on the Health Minister to respond to a petition calling for the removal of restrictions which pregnant women say are denying them vital support. But first news, an announcement is imminent from the North's executive on restrictions set to be imposed in the Derry and Strabane area. Health Minister Robin Swan said yesterday that restrictions were inevitable there due to the spike in cases in the area. The seven-day incidence rate of COVID-19 in Derry and Strabane is 322.6 per 100,000. It's down ever so slightly from yesterday's figures, but still one of the highest in the UK. Across the north, two more people have died of COVID-19 and there are 259 new cases. It brings the total number of infections in the north to 11,952, with 17% of those reported in the past week. NAFID has recommended further restrictions on gatherings in people's homes, but no county will be moved up a full level of restrictions today. Political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
Under NAFID's recommendations, the restrictions on social gatherings in the home will be ramped up for the entire country. That means you can only have a maximum of six people from one other household visit your home or garden. These are the rules that had already been in place for people in Dublin and Donegal and will now apply to the entire country. It's in a bid to limit house parties as well as the amount of contacts that people are having socially and to target community transmission. Government will consider the recommendation but is likely to accept it. No county is going to be moved up a level of restrictions today, with the likes of Monaghan, Roscommon, Cork and Galway to be given more time to bring the spread of the virus under control. So every county will stay on its current level. However, the level 3 measures when it comes to gatherings in the home will now apply nationwide. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
Meanwhile, people in counties with level 3 restrictions are higher, which includes Donegal, will not be allowed to visit nursing homes unless on compassionate or critical grounds. It's part of new advice from the HPSC, which will allow residents to leave the premises for a social drive if the county is in level 1. Outdoor and window visiting will be allowed no matter what level of restrictions have been imposed. Tadhg Daly of Nursing Homes Ireland has welcomed the new guidelines.
What it does now is it mirrors the 5-level framework announced by government and how we're going to live with COVID. So it should be clear for residents, for their families and for service providers how to manage as the country deals with the virus in terms of peaks and troughs that we may experience over the winter period.
The EU's begun legal action against Britain over a controversial law which could change the Brexit withdrawal agreement. The British government says its alterations would ensure trading continues between different parts of the UK, but admits that might also breach international legislation. It says it'll respond to a letter from Brussels in due course. Earlier on today's 9 till noon show, Taoiseach and Enterprise Minister Leo Varadkar welcomed the move, saying it's the right thing to do. However, he said the best outcome, particularly for Donegal, would be a deal which allows the free movement of goods and services.
President von der Leyen announced that the European Union will be taking the UK to court over the internal market bill. And I think that's an appropriate response. But what would be much better for everyone is if we can hammer out that trade deal. Donegal is a border county. You know better than most how important it is that we have tariff-free and quota-free trade with Britain. And you know, it's an agricultural county too. And I just don't want to see a situation in the next couple of weeks where our farmers and fishermen are exposed to very serious issues. So the most important thing is to get into that tunnel and negotiate that trade deal. But, you know, to do that, you need good faith. And the UK has shown bad faith in the way it's behaved in the last little while.
Fishing representative bodies are set to go back to court after a Sinn Féin attempt to overturn a statutory instrument introducing penalty points was defeated in the Dáil last night. The motion, introduced by Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin, was defeated by 78 votes to 61. Agriculture and Marine Minister Charlie McConlogue, who previously supported a similar motion moved by then-Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher, told the Dáil that amendments to the SI suggested at the time by Pat the Cope Gallagher had been assessed and two of them introduced. West. Deputy McLaughlin disputes that and says the fight will continue.
This is the exact same penalty point scheme voted down 2 years ago. That was the first time in the history of the state that a statutory instrument was voted down. Fishermen will challenge this in the courts and this battle will continue.
What Charlie McConnell told you during the debate was that when the proposed amendments by Pat the Cope Gallagher were assessed, two were accepted and they addressed issues raised by the Supreme Court. The others, he said, were found to be unlawful and would have left Ireland open to massive EU fines. You don't accept that?
No, and nor does any fisherman around the coast accept that. I mean, the four core issues that Pat the Cope raised, none of them were addressed, and indeed Pat the Cope raised and Sinn Féin supported, Labour Party supported and a range of independents supported back in 2018, and indeed Micheál Martin and Charlie McConnell supported. What has happened here is a betrayal of fishing communities for now, and we intend to fight it head on. It is absolutely repugnant to the Constitution and repugnant to natural justice what has happened here, and I am absolutely stunned that anybody could stand over this, having fought it 2 years ago.
Supreme Court Judge Seamus Wolfe shouldn't have gone to the controversial golf dinner in Galway, but he shouldn't be made resign. That's the finding of a report into the controversy which has been published this evening. The Supreme Court says it fully accepts the conclusions and recommendations in the report. A €6 million social housing project in Castlefin has been given the go-ahead to move to the next stage. The Habentag Housing Association has received permission to move to stage 2 of the project, which will allow it access funding and proceed to planning. The site was purchased by the association in 2016 and has been lying in a partially developed state since then. Dr. Paul Armstrong is chair and CEO of Habentag. He expects a significant development to be completed by the end of 2022.
We're delighted to get stage 2 approval. That's a key step in accessing funding, so we can now shortly go for planning. It will involve 34 units, houses and apartments and accommodation for people of various levels of ability and individuals and families. A lot of people have put a lot of hard work into it in the council and in our organisation, and we're delighted to get this far.
Those who know Ballyduff Park in Lifford will know the quality of the work that the Habentag Association has done and continues to manage.
Well, we opened in 2008 in Lifford, and we did hope that we might have been able to do other projects, but unfortunately the economy hit a wall over that period, and it has taken some time to get this far. But we're delighted, really. The allocation of €5.8 million should allow us to provide a very high quality accommodation and houses. And of course, the allocation of them will be in very close contact with the council. The people will come from the housing list with the council.
And you're hoping that this will be up and running before the end of 2022?
We would hope to go for planning over the next 8 to 10 weeks to start construction in the second quarter of next year. It'll probably be 15 to 18 month project on that site, just on the Rafoe Road, just outside Castlefin. It's an excellent site, very adjacent to all facilities and amenities. Level access for people accessing the town, the shops, church, post office, surgery.
A Donegal senator is calling on Health Minister Stephen Donnelly to respond to a petition calling for the removal of restrictions which pregnant women say are denying them vital support. In particular, the petition says fathers or partners should have the right to be present with a woman at her antenatal scans and appointments and to support her throughout the entirety of her labour and beyond 1 hour after the birth of the baby. Senator Eileen Flynn in the Shannon urged Minister Donnelly to come into the House and discuss the situation.
I am calling on the Minister of Health to listen and respond to the 50,000 signatures from the petition that was done with Uplift to improve and to make the current situation in hospitals better in Ireland for women who's having a child at this time, because it's not just about COVID-19. Right now we have to care for everybody across all of the health service as well as COVID-19. So I'm calling on the Minister to come in and to respond.
The government has defended waiting a week to tell Leaving Cert students there was a problem with a predictive grade system. Minister Eamon Ryan has said they first needed to establish the extent of the problem so they could properly deal with it. The department first learnt there was a problem last Tuesday and about a third of the cabinet was made aware last Friday. Inter leader Patrick O'Bain says the whole process has been farcical.
People around the country are wondering, is there anybody in charge at all? In a few short months, this government has proved itself efficient in only one thing, and that's the creation of chaos. The predictive grades process has turned out to be a complete dog's dinner.
It's been confirmed that St Vincent de Paul's Hostel in Letterkenny will not be affected by plans to transfer the management of the Society's hostels to other homeless charities. St Vincent de Paul will transfer 9 of its 10 hostels across the country to new management, with the exception of St Columbkills in Letterkenny, where 10 units cater for women, men and families. Dania Hutchinson, St Vincent de Paul National Manager of Homeless Services, says the situation at St Columbkills differs from other hostels due to its physical structure of the buildings.
Today we have been talking to people about the fact that we are moving our emergency accommodation services, by and large the 9 of them outside of Letterkenny, which have kind of changed over the past 10, 15 years, where they were originally set up as volunteer projects to support a local need. They're now state-funded, state-regulated professional services, which have come to exceed the capacity of our volunteer structures. But the hostel in Letterkenny in particular is slightly different in that the premises there already have own-door occupation, which means all of the people using the service there pretty much have their own front door. And that lends itself to a kind of a housing-first approach to providing support to those people. So there's no change expected in Letterkenny. They're already delivering a service that lets people have their own front door, and there's no reason to change that at this time. It's working.
And are there any long-term future plans for the service here in Letterkenny?
Yeah, I think we would continue, I suppose, if we're moving towards housing first principles, you're continuing to expand your social housing programme. So the Society isn't moving out of social housing. We have, I think it's 146 social housing units in Donegal, and we continue to expand our social housing programme. And that's something, I suppose, into the future that Letterkenny and the service in Letterkenny may look to do as well, to provide additional units of social housing for permanent tenancies, as well as the support of temporary accommodation that we provide at St Columbkills.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, where you'll find all the leading brands and running footwear from top names like Brooks, Asics and New Balance, in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
At 14 minutes past five, it's time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with Champions League football. The draw is ongoing for next season's group stages. And there is, of course, four Premier League sides involved. Manchester City have been drawn in Group C alongside FC Porto and Olympiacos. Liverpool are in Group D with Ajax and Atalanta. Chelsea will be in Group E with Sevilla and Krasnodar, while Manchester United are grouped in H beside Paris Saint-Germain and RB Leipzig. There is still a fourth place in each of the groups to be finalised. That's ongoing at the moment, but already one of the standout groups is G. Juventus and Barcelona will be in the same group, while Bayern Munich and Atletico Madrid will also be grouped together. Dundalk could end the night nearly €3 million richer. A place in the Europa League group stage is an offer when they face Kai off the Faroe Islands at the Aviva. Looking ahead to the game is Will O'Callaghan.
A place in the group stages of the Europa League and at least €3 million in prize money is the reward for the winners of tonight's playoff clash here at an empty Aviva Stadium. For Dundalk, it's an opportunity to book a place in the group stages for the second time in 5 years, while KI are aiming to become the first team ever from the Faroe Islands to be in the main draw for the Europa League. The visitors impressed last week with a 6-1 victory over Dinamo Tbilisi despite having less than 30% of the ball, while Dundalk followed up a second round win against Inter in Andorra by beating Sheriff on penalties in Moldova last Thursday night. Chris Shields, a veteran of the Lily White's European run in 2016, is suspended for this evening's game, while Sean Gannon is likely to miss out with an ankle injury he suffered last week. But Republic of Ireland cap defender Andy Boyle is in line to return, having sat out the win against Sheriff through suspension. Having surrendered their League of Ireland title, it's an opportunity for Dundalk and their manager Filippo Giovagnoli to secure a golden ticket and a place in tomorrow's draw for the group stages. Kick-off here at Lansdowne Road is at 7:30.
Also tonight, Tottenham play host to Maccabi Haifa, Celtic are away to FK Sarajevo, and Rangers welcome Galatasaray to Ibrox. Liverpool are in Carabao Cup fourth round action tonight. They're taking on Arsenal at Anfield. Liverpool assistant boss Pep Lunders doesn't think Monday's Premier League game between the two sides will have any bearing on the League Cup tie tonight. The champions, of course, won 3-1, but Lunders says Arsenal are a better team when it comes to cup competitions.
We go from Premier League to League Cup, so it's a final. Mikel won his last 7 games in domestic cup. It's a completely different context. We're going to play this game. It's a proper.
Also tonight, Brentford take on Fulham, and Aston Villa are up against Stoke. The Donegal Junior League have confirmed Kilmacron and Celtic will be crowned Premier Division champions this year. Following an Ulster FA disciplinary decision at the start of September, Kilmacron were awarded the Premier Division title. Another appeal was then sent to the FAA, which meant the presentation of the cup was put on hold. The FAA have since said there's no further grounds of appealing and the league can award the cup to Kilmacrenan. In Gaelic games, the Donegal CCC will meet this evening to finalise the date for the 2020 Donegal Senior Football Championship final. At present, next Wednesday, the 7th of October, is the day that was provisionally put down for the decider. But it now seems that could be moved a few days and possibly be held the following Saturday the 11th or Sunday the 12th. The final was originally due to be held last Sunday but was moved after a COVID issue. Well, this year's inter-county season will resume this month with the two remaining rounds of the league and then championships around the country getting underway. Donegal of Tyrone and Kerry in Division 1 before hosting Tyrone in the Ulster quarter-final in Ballybuffet on Sunday the 1st of November. Today, former Kerry footballer Mark O'Shea was speaking at the launch of the toughest season. O'Shea says Donegal will be top four in 2020.
Donegal, in my view, are really going to be knocking on the door this year. And Galway are going to be knocking on the door with Pádraig Joyce at the helm. It could be very interesting to see how, you know, after the lockdown, how teams come out again. Because we see Galway were flying before the lockdown. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, will they kick on like they did, like they were doing at the start of the league. So I certainly would put Galway and Donegal. If I was to look at a top four for next year, For this year, my top four would obviously be Dublin. I'd have Kerry there, I'd have Donegal, and I'd have Galway. And then, you know, you look at the rest, and they're not too far away either.
Moving to horse racing, UK champion flat jockey Oisin Murphy has protested his innocence after being tested positive for cocaine. The positive test emerged after a meeting in Chantilly in France back in July. Murphy is awaiting the results of a B sample. He says he has never taken the drug and points to an independent laboratory sample taken from his hair, which found no traces of cocaine. Meanwhile, the Aidan O'Brien trained filly Love has been ruled out of Sunday's Prix de Arc de Triomphe due to unsuitable ground conditions. The horse will instead run in the month of November in Kentucky. In tennis, Novak Djokovic is into the third round of the French Open. The top seed beat the world number 66, Ricardos Berrankis, 6-1, 6-2, 6-2 today. Another seed, however, has fallen in the women's drop. Second seed, Karolina Pliskova, was beaten by 2016 champion Yelena Ostapenko. And looking ahead to tonight here in Highland, despite the current restrictions on the Score programme, we'll be looking ahead to another bumper weekend of action. Convoy manager Lawrence McMullen and Shane McClafferty, joint manager of Downings, will preview Sunday's Donegal GA Junior football final. It's hurling finals day on Saturday at the Donna Park in Letterkenny. Dunlow and Cairn Donna contest the junior decider. Cormac Hartnett and Ray Walsh will join us, while Satanta and St Eunan's clash again the senior final. We'll be hearing from Danny Cullen and Tom Hennessy. The Derry football finals will be played out on Sunday. Ciarán O'Kane of the Irish News will run his eye over the intermediate and senior games. While in soccer, Derry City face into a third game in 7 days on Friday against Waterford. It's been a tough week for the County Stripes. Kevin McLaughlin of the Derry Journal gives his verdict on Derry's current form. That's the Score programme tonight here on Highland, just after the 7 o'clock news. Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. And for weather now, mainly dry this evening with a few late sunny spells. Tonight will be mainly dry also with some clear spells. However, a few scattered showers will develop. Cold with lowest temperatures of between 1 and 4 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, an announcement is imminent from the North's executive on restrictions set to be imposed in Derry and Strabane. Health Minister Robin Swan said yesterday that restrictions were inevitable there due to a spike in cases. Meanwhile, NPHET has recommended further restrictions on gatherings in people's homes, but no county will be moved up a full level of restrictions today. The EU's begun legal action against Britain over a controversial law which could change the Brexit withdrawal agreement. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar says the best outcome, particularly for Donegal, would be a deal which allows the free movement of goods and services. And a €6 million social housing project in Castlefin has been given the go-ahead to move to the next stage. The Habentag Housing Association has received permission to move to stage two of the project, which will allow it access funding and proceed to planning. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here in Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up later, I'll have news on a new online tractor safety awareness training course and a webinar on farm business options. But first this evening, seaweed could become part of a cow's diet. Why? Well, it could be all part of the continuing efforts to reduce methane emissions. Cows emit methane through their digestive process, such as belching, and the agricultural sector has repeatedly lobbied for methane from agriculture to be treated differently as it breaks down more quickly in the environment. Well, Hannah Quinn Mulligan, the news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal, has been writing on this topic this week because there is a bill on the way which could have a big influence on matters here. Hannah, perhaps you can give us a little bit of the background and what we can expect from this bill.
Yes, so the government promised that there would be a new climate bill within the first 100 days of them being in power. So that date is fast approaching next week, and we expect the new climate bill then. And what it effectively does is it puts into law the government's target to be at net zero emissions by 2050. And every sector, including agriculture, will be tied up in these five-year annual targets, and there'll be legal targets, and they'll have to reduce their emissions by 7% each year between 2021 and 2030. So as part of that, we're obviously looking for from the agriculture side, we're looking at cows, because cows, through their burping and through their farting, emit methane. But because that's tied up in our food system, and because it's biogenic methane, it's a slightly different type of methane, it's broken down a lot more quickly in the atmosphere, and people were lobbying for it to be counted differently in the law. And we now have a political source telling us, and we understand that that is going to be the case when the law is published, probably next week.
So this is encouraging for the agricultural sector. Nevertheless, there will have to be certain things put in place to help achieve the targets for farmers.
That's right. So we won't totally be let off the hook in any shape or form. And leader of the Green Party, Eamon Ryan, has said that, you know, OK, biogenic methane, it doesn't last as long in the atmosphere, but it can still be converted into CO2. So what they'll be looking at is ways of potentially maybe adding seaweed to cows' diet. We know that that can reduce methane. There was a study done in Sligo, and the cows had a little kind of backpack on their backs and a little kind of nozzle around their noses measuring their burping or belching. And there is also maybe agroforestry going to be looking at that, and then as well kind of other methods like kind of sequestering carbon through re-wetting bogs and that kind of thing.
So the bottom line is there are going to have to be changes, and we're going to have to adapt and live with them.
Definitely. And part of that is all going to be wrapped up potentially in the next REP scheme that people are looking forward to as well. So hopefully some big changes coming down the line for all sectors, and agriculture is definitely one that is going to have to keep its eyes open.
Well, from what you've been studying this week, the farming sector will probably be looking at this with less fear than may have been the case 6 months, 12 months ago, because certainly there were other lobbying organisations on the environmental front who wanted to see a big reduction in the number of cows out there. So this may not necessarily now happen.
Maybe, but we have to understand that the policy is still going to be shaped by things like the Climate Action Plan, which, like you just mentioned there, did say that there should be a cut to the national herd. And we also have to look that within this 100 days of government, we've had three ministers for agriculture. So there's going to be a lot riding on the Donegal man, Charlie McConlogue, in this sense that people are going to be looking to him for leadership now. Because even though the bill is published maybe next week or the week after, it's still, all the specifics still have to be shaped. That won't actually come into force until next August. autumn. So there's time left to still shape those specifics, and people will be looking to him to guide it and also to kind of get some sort of working model in place that everyone can move with. Because, you know, some farmers are all, I'd say a lot of farmers are aware of climate change and know that things are going to have to be done, but to kind of to pull that group of farmers in the same direction is going to be a difficult task and won't be an easy ask for anyone.
On to something different now, and the Department of Agriculture has suspended mart licences on two occasions recently due to breaches of COVID-19 guidelines. This was down the country, but this is a little bit of a warning, I would imagine, for marts all over the country.
That's it, exactly. And speaking to people within the Department of Agriculture, speaking to people within the mart industry, there are lots of concerns there that there could be further mart closures. So for anyone who does regularly go to marts, I mean, we know that masks are compulsory, but even within a mart, there are guidelines, but outside the mart, there will be people keeping an eye on that as well. And if Department of Agriculture officials come to a mart and see that the guidelines aren't being followed, you do risk having your mart being closed. So if you love your mart, you'll stick to the guidelines, is kind of the bottom line here, because those marts that were closed, one was closed for 2 weeks and one was closed for 4 weeks. And, you know, and that's an awful blow to a local community that's relying on their local mart.
And these marts were in the Midlands.
Yeah, that's right. So not anywhere near you, but you never know. It could spread. And we know that there was a spotlight as well with the kind of the Donegal area being on the level three scale. So we got assurances that the marts wouldn't be affected by any level three status. You know, it would continue as business as usual as long as the guidelines stayed in place. But definitely the department are keeping an eye on marts because they have some concerns.
Ultimately, it's a case of people having personal responsibility for their actions. And if everybody plays their part, there shouldn't be any repercussions in that regard. One other thing while we have you on, Hannah, mapping. There's been errors made in numerous maps and it can be costly for farmers, and people have appealed. And this week you've had a number of interesting cases that have come to light.
Yeah, that's it. I suppose there's nothing like a farmer and their land. And what got the story started was a farmer came to me and he had 20 acres put in his neighbour's folio, his next door neighbour's folio, when maps were digitised in 2005. So over 10 years ago, and he's had a really hard time getting his 20 acres back into his own folio, even though he has the hard copy of the land registry documents, and even though he's still getting department grants on the land as well. That has never changed. But as he said himself, legally his neighbour could go out and sell his 20 acres tomorrow because it's not in his folio. So there's been 4,500 of these mapping errors, the land registry told me through Freedom of Information. So it's just something to bear in mind if you are a farmer, or even if you're not a farmer, maybe just have a look at your house or your farm or your land folio. You can do it online just to check that it's all there, because that could be an important thing for you. And so, yeah, so if you're online at any stage, do no harm to go onto the land registry website and check that all the land you think you own is actually there.
And while the case you mentioned was in Galway, the advice is the west of Ireland and down the western seaboard has tended to have more errors for the maps, probably because a lot of them were quite dated in the first place.
That's it, exactly. Yeah, and because the maps of the west of Ireland maybe weren't as thorough as well as the east of Ireland, unfortunately. And what the land registry told me was that there were more mapping errors on the western seaboard. So definitely do double check that everything's there.
And that was Hannah Quinn Mulligan, news correspondent with the Farmers Journal. In other news, an online tractor safety awareness training course, which has been promoted by the Department of Agriculture, the HSA and the Irish Farmers Journal, has been launched this week. The course is aimed primarily at young people starting out who drive tractors on farms and highlights the daily safety elements that need to be considered. And it can also be used as a good refresher for other ages too. The Chief Executive Officer of the Health and Safety Authority, Dr. Sharon McGuinness, said that farmers must invest time for training for themselves, their families and others who work on the farm. Tractors and other vehicles were involved in 50% of all farm fatalities over the last 10 years. A new weekly Chagas webinar called Farm Business Options will feature news, views and interviews on current topics relevant to farm business diversification. Hosted by Chagas, it will be streamed live through Zoom, and the new webinar will target farmers, farm advisors, agricultural researchers and agribusiness representatives of government and public authorities, and indeed a broader audience. The farm business options will be broadcast live from 11 a.m. to 12 noon every Tuesday from October the 13th. Participation is free, however, registration is essential prior to each webinar. And finally, the IFA Animal Health Chairman Pat Farrell has welcomed the contribution of the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue, to the TB Forum meeting, and the interest shown by the Minister in attending the full meeting. Mr. Farrell said that the Minister had directed his officials to provide the forum members with a draft TB strategy and to initiate bilateral meetings with the various farm organisations, in particular as a matter of urgency, with a view to developing an agreed approach in achieving the eradication of TB in the shortest feasible timeframe. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, October the 1st. The death has taken place of Nan Ban Egalakor, Nan Dan on Charlie of Cosh Clanny Gidor, currently reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Derrybeg, followed by burial in Maharagallan Cemetery. Due to government and HSE guidelines, funeral will be strictly family only. Funeral Mass will be broadcast on the Colm Gillespie Funeral Director Facebook page. Donations in lieu of flowers to the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland, care of Colm Gillespie Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Kathleen Houston, formerly of Dunloy, County Antrim and Stony Falls, Donemana. Kathleen's remains will repose at her niece's home, Joan Houston, 63 Lochan Road, Donemana. Wake and funeral are restricted to family and close friends only, please, due to current guidelines. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if wished, to Trokra, care of Northwest Regional Office, Derry. The death has taken place of William Joseph Green, Coventry, England, and formerly of Grange, Inch Island. Funeral Mass will take place on this day week, October the 8th, in Christ the King Church, Coventry, at 10:30. Due to government guidelines, funeral is private to family only. Funeral can be viewed online on Christ the King Church, Coventry website. The death has occurred of Madge Dolan, 29 Fort Road, Maharnagira, Ahiarn. Requiem Mass will be celebrated tomorrow at 12 noon in St Patrick's Church, Ahiarn, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Due to government restrictions, the house mass and interment are strictly private to the immediate family. The mass can be viewed via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of William Gill, Backhill, Minagori, Buncrana. His remains are reposing at his residence. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Letterkenny University Hospital Medical 4, care of any family member or porter funeral directors. The death has taken place of Francis Elizabeth Donnell Vance Neymer, 11 Woodlands, Ballynagard, Culmore. Funeral from her late residence tomorrow at 12 noon, followed by a service of thanksgiving in Knowhead Presbyterian Church at 12:30. Burial afterwards in Munray Presbyterian Church burial ground. Wake is strictly private and service is restricted to immediate family. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Alzheimer's Society, care of Mrs. Ruth Hay, funeral director. And the death has taken place of Gilbert Hall O'Halati Carrigart, remains reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday, going to Carrigart Presbyterian Church for service at 2 o'clock, followed by burial in the family burial ground. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only.